I want to go back to July 3rd. That was World Sea Bird Day. Birdwatch Ireland, Ireland's largest conservation NGO in conjunction with BirdLife International, published the 73 most important areas for seabirds in Ireland. 24 areas have been identified in Irish marine waters, along with 49 terrestrial sites on the coast and on islands which host breeding colonies. These sites form part of a global network of the most significant sites for the conservation of birds that have been identified by BirdLife International and its national partners, including Birdwatch Ireland. Niall, you can tell us all about this and your colleague who's been very heavily involved.
Absolutely. Thank you, Derek. Yes, my colleague Una Duggan, who's Birdwatch Ireland's head of policy and advocacy, she's been talking in the media quite a lot about this in recent days. She was on Morning Ireland discussing it, for example. And it's all about this new map that Birdwatch Ireland has just published, identifying 73 important bird and biodiversity areas, IBBAs as they're called. This is something that we do in conjunction with BirdLife International and partners around the world. It's like a standardised way of recognising areas that are important for birds and for wider biodiversity. And now that we've identified where those are for the birds, they're seabirds. Some of them are on land, like colonies, coastal sites where they're nesting, but also crucially for the first time, identifying the areas at sea which are so important for them to forage in and for to provide protection year round, particularly during the breeding season. Because up until now, a lot of that's just been guesswork. So we're now calling on the government to have those properly designated in law as SPA, Special Protection Areas, under the Birds Directive.
Right, so what does that mean?
What it means is that those then are considered strictly protected from the point of view of protecting birds. It doesn't mean that activities can't happen there. It just means that it has to be properly considered when permission has been given for activities there. It's not a one size fits all. Different birds react in different ways and have different pressures and different issues around them. So now at least it's being
forward. But you're not talking about building a fence or a wall.
Well, you might be talking about building a wind farm, or you might be talking about allowing certain types of fishing and so on. And the great thing about this mapping exercise is that it shows the areas where it is actually quite safe for that to happen from the point of view of seabirds, and areas perhaps where it's not so safe to do that. And the state is, of course, obliged to do this. There's a commitment enshrined in law that the state has to designate at least 30% of our marine areas as these special protection areas by 2030. We're nowhere near that yet. It's about 9.5% at the moment. If these sites that we've identified were designated, that would bring the government up to nearly 19%, so quite a good bit of the way there. But this is something that we're obliged to do, and Ireland unfortunately does lag behind, as it so often does when it comes to EU regulations, particularly around the protection of nature. So this is something that actually makes the job of the state easier, but also helps us to live up to its responsibilities and make sure the state doesn't get fined. More importantly, though, it protects our birds. So we really would call on the government to identify these. And hats off to my colleague Una, who's done remarkable work on this over the last week, getting a lot of publicity around this. Years of work have gone into this, and so all credit to her and to the team for doing it. It's wonderful.
Richard?
Yes, I think it's very important. We have to share the environment with other creatures. We can't monopolize everything. And this is a step in the right direction, and I hope we prosper with it.
Well, it's a start, or should I say it's a continuation of the good work that's been done by Birdwatch Ireland. And well done to Una and the team. At any rate, you want to say something now about Amber, Niall?
Oh yeah, I was just admiring Terry's piece of amber there. Yeah. One wonderful specimen. One of my favourite facts about amber is the ancient Greeks knew it well. They called it electron. And they knew it had the strange property that if you rubbed it on like clothing or fabric or something like that, it would create this little charge that attracted little bits of dust. And they call that force electricity, static electricity. So we get the name electricity from electron, from amber. So amber gives us a word we use in everyday life. I find that kind of cool.
Did you know that, Terry?
Yes.
He knew that. He's sitting at the back there. Anyway, that's pretty much all we have time for. Don't forget, you can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. As you can probably hear, we are leaving you with a theme tune from Jurassic Park, given that we were talking about Terry's amber, given to him by his wonderful wife, Angela. Thanks for listening tonight. Thank you to Niall, to Richard, and to Terry. And if you're interested, there is a Jurassic World Rebirth movie out at the moment. So why not? If you haven't been for a while, go to the cinema. Enjoy yourself. We'll do it all again next week. See you then.
Bye-bye.